Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Do not eat at this fast food in Alabama, ever.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a direct quote from one of the core sources we looked at for this deep dive. And I mean, if that phrase doesn't just stop you in your tracks.
It really does. It makes you rethink, you know, every late night drive-through run you've ever made.
Exactly. And we need to be clear right from the start. We are not talking about some minor health code violation here.
No, this isn't a story about a slightly greasy floor or, you know, milk that was a day out of date.
Not even close. Today, we are opening the file on the 2013 fast food contamination incident in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Our mission really is to get to the bottom of why this one specific, very local crime became this legend, a true nightmare in American public health history. Mm. It's a terrifying story. It's about community, about trust, and about just a shocking act of betrayal that was hidden in plain sight.
And not just the act itself, but the cover-up. The truly criminal lengths a manager went to try and keep it all buried.
That's what makes this case so important to unpack, right? It's more than just one disturbed person doing something awful.
Exactly. As we started digging into the sources, the employee records, the manager's statements, the official health department reports, what emerges is this profound failure of the entire system, the very system that's supposed to protect you.
Yeah.
And so the question isn't just what he did, which, believe me, was horrific. The real question is how long? How long was this allowed to happen inside a place people trusted, a place that was just part of their daily routine?
And why was the management's first instinct, their immediate reaction, to just double down on the deception?
That's the core of it. We have a complete narrative here, and it's devastating. We can trace it all the way from the restaurant's, you know, perfectly normal, innocent-seeming facade.
A place beloved by the locals?
Completely. Right up to the manager's desperate, frantic cover-up, and then finally, the state lab confirmation, the science that made it all undeniable.
For anyone who's ever grabbed a quick burger or fries, this deep dive shows just how fast that sense of safety and predictability can just completely collapse.
It's that journey, isn't it? The journey from this unchallenged everyday routine to a horrifying revelation. That's what makes the Muscle Shoals incident so important. We're going to look at the sort of psychological contract that was broken here and also the specific steps that thankfully made sure the truth came out.
Despite the manager's best efforts to just erase it from existence.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Let's go to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, around 2013.
Right.
If you lived there, this place wasn't just some random fast food joint. And we're not naming it, but the sources make it clear this small restaurant was, I mean, it was basically woven into the fabric of the community.
It was a local institution.
It really was. The sources all describe it as being just phenomenally popular. It ticked all the boxes for what makes fast food work, you know?
Cheap meals.
Super cheap meals, really fast service. And the big one, it was open late, like well after midnight late.
And those aren't just, you know, minor perks. That's the foundation of the whole fast food promise, right?
The entire contract. You'd trade a little bit of quality, maybe, for a low price, for speed, for convenience. But the one thing that's non-negotiable, the thing you always assume, is that it's safe.
It has to be safe. That's the bedrock.
Okay.
And to really get the depth of the betrayal here, you have to understand just how much people relied on this specific place.
Who was going there?
Well, the clientele wasn't just, you know, random people grabbing a bite. It was a very specific, almost dependent group of people. I mean, think about it. You had teenagers there after school. It was the cheap spot to hang out, grab a burger before practice.
Of course.
But maybe more importantly, you had the whole population of night shift workers.
Ah, okay.
People from the local factories, hospital staff getting off a long shift, retail workers closing up the mall. They're all grabbing food on the way home at one, maybe two in the morning.
When nothing else is open.
Nothing else.
Mm.
So for them, this place was more than just convenient. It was kind of an economic necessity. It was affordable food at the only hours it worked for their schedule.
And they just trusted it implicitly.
Completely unthinking trust. You walk up, you pay your $4 or $5, and you expect to get the same burger you got last week and the week before that. And the source material really hammers this point home. It says for years, everything seemed normal.
And the banality of that, the routine of it all, that's what makes what happened next so, so brutal.
It's the foundation of the trust that was just about to be completely obliterated.
That idea of normalization, that's so key here. I mean, part of the appeal of fast food is its anonymity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know the cook's name. You don't care who the manager is. You just trust the brand. You trust the health codes. You trust that there are systems in place.
And this restaurant, just by being there for so long and being so popular, it had earned that trust from everyone in Muscle Shoals.
It acts as a sort of like a psychological buffer. It lets you turn your brain off.
Yeah, you switch off your vigilance. You're not inspecting every single French fry. You're not, you know, scrutinizing the ketchup. You just assume the protocols are being followed.
You assume the system works.
And it's a system built for massive scale,
right?
Thousands of orders a day, which means it has to have rigid safety standards. So people weren't just buying food. They were buying peace of mind.
Yeah.
The guarantee that the safety part was taken care of for them.
So when that guarantee is broken, the trauma is just, it's magnified. It's not just that you're upset about getting sick. It's the realization that this core, predictable part of your life was secretly, fundamentally compromised.
For who knows how long.
Right. And nobody knows for how long.
Exactly. And this whole facade of normalcy, the cheap food, the late hours, the, you know, clean-looking counter.
Yeah.
It was the perfect stage for one of the worst, most deliberate breaches of that trust you can possibly imagine.
A breach that didn't come from some accident or a mistake?
No. It came from calculated internal malice.
And the person who found it was working right next to him.
Yeah.
So this is where the whole story just pivots. It turns on a dime with the introduction of this one guy, the whistleblower. He's a 28-year-old employee. Just a regular guy working his shift, you know, taking orders behind the counter. He's not a manager, not an auditor. He's a peer of the person doing this.
Just a coworker.
Just a coworker. But he starts to notice something is off. Something about his coworker's behavior during food prep is deeply, deeply unsettling.
And this is the crucial moment, right? He realizes that just complaining or, you know, mentioning it to someone isn't going to be enough.
He knew what he was seeing was something exceptional, something that required more than just his word.
His decision to secretly record his coworker, that's the first real act of foresight in this whole scandal.
Mm-hmm.
It shows this chillingly accurate understanding of how organizations work.
What do you mean?
I mean, he knew that if you report something that is truly unbelievable, something so horrifying and criminal, your words alone are just. They're not enough. They can be easily dismissed, easily buried.
Oh, you must have seen it wrong. Or those two just don't get along.
Exactly. He knew he needed undeniable, irrefutable proof. So he basically becomes his own internal investigator.
And you have to think about the risk he was taking there.
Oh, it's an immense risk. Secretly filming a colleague? I mean, you could be fired on the spot for that. Accused of invading privacy, creating a hostile work environment, all of that before anyone even sees what's on the video.
So the fact that he was willing to take that risk,
it tells you that he knew the secret he was about to capture on film was so monstrous that it was worth losing his job over.
And the evidence itself, the way the sources describe it, it goes so far beyond simple food tampering. The perpetrator was described as doing something horrifying. Another source said it was so disgusting.
We have to pause on that. This is a whole different category of crime. This is not an angry employee spitting in a burger one time.
No, that's absolutely critical to understand. This specific offense, as it's detailed in the reports, was the coworker adding his own ingredients to customer orders.
And let's be blunt about what that means.
The sources make it devastatingly clear. This involved containers contaminated with bodily fluids.
Right. So this immediately moves the conversation from, say, a health code violation into malicious adulteration. Potentially, depending on the local laws, criminal assault. You're delivering a contaminated substance to people who have no idea.
And prosecutors, they make a distinction, right, between accidental contamination and this.
A huge distinction. Dropping a spatula on the floor is an accident.
Mm-hmm.
This was intentional, malicious adulteration. It was calculated. The fact that it involved bodily fluids and was consistently applied to containers, plural, suggests a pattern.
This wasn't a one-time thing.
No, this was a repetitive, calculated behavior. It points to either a very deep psychological disturbance or just pure deliberate malice. This wasn't a momentary lapse in judgment.
And the horror of it, I mean, the fact that it's happening right there behind the counter in the space that is supposed to be the safest, most controlled part of the whole operation.
The one place you trust implicitly.
It became the scene of a crime, a sustained criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So now the whistleblower, he has this bombshell, this irrefutable video evidence. And he does what you're supposed to do, the responsible thing.
He follows the chain of command.
He takes the footage straight to his manager. He doesn't go to the press. He doesn't post it online. He trusts the system. He expects the manager, the person in charge of safety of the brand's reputation, to immediately call the police, to shut everything down to protect the public.
And that expectation is based on, you know, a fundamental belief that people will follow the law and do the right thing.
Of course.
Any rational person, any responsible manager, when they're shown definitive proof of a felony that endangers public health, their first call is to 911. You quarantine the building. You get the authorities involved.
But the manager's response, as the sources lay it out, it wasn't based on ethics. It wasn't based on the law.
No. It was based on pure panic and a ruthless, single-minded focus on self-preservation. And this is the moment the story stops being about one bad employee.
This is where it becomes a systemic failure.
A total systemic failure.
This part of the story, I think, is the most infuriating because it just shows how fast the system that's supposed to protect people can turn into an obstacle to justice.
Mm.
The manager gets this smoking gun evidence, this video, and his response is not just wrong, it's deeply criminal in its own right.
And you have to analyze the manager's actions here as a kind of a calculated risk assessment made in a moment of just extreme panic.
Right.
In those few seconds, they had a choice. Report the crime, which would destroy the business's reputation, probably end their career,
mm-hmm.
or erase the evidence and just pray the problem goes away.
And they chose option B.
They chose option B. And in doing so, they revealed this terrifying mindset where the brand is more important than human health.
So let's walk through the specific actions the manager took. It's almost like something out of a movie. Action one, the personnel decisions. The manager fires both employees.
Both of them. The perpetrator and the whistleblower. And that move, firing the guy who reported the crime, that is a textbook attempt to neutralize the threat of exposure.
How so?
Well, by firing the whistleblower, you're trying to get rid of the witness. You're trying to equate the person who reported the crime with the person who committed it. You're sending a message to anyone else who works there. If you speak up, you're out.
So in the manager's eyes, they were both just problems to be dealt with.
Exactly. The issue for the manager wasn't the contamination. It was the discovery of the contamination.
Right.
That's what had to be contained.
Wow. Okay, so firing the witness was the first step to silence the problem. But the next step shows just how desperate the manager was to control the evidence. Action two is even worse. The manager deleted the footage.
And this is where we cross it.
Menards' Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
A very bright line into serious criminal territory. This is obstruction of justice. This is tampering with evidence in a case involving a major public health threat.
It's not a passive mistake. It's an active choice.
It's a premeditated attempt to completely erase the primary evidence. The manager made a conscious decision to protect the restaurant's finances, probably thinking that the short-term cost of an investigation was way higher than the long-term risk of just making it go away.
The ethical failure there is just... it's staggering.
Think about it. They knew for a fact that their regular customers, people from their own community, had likely eaten contaminated food, and yet their response was to destroy the only proof that it ever happened.
That's what defines this as a systemic crisis. It's not just one guy's mistake anymore.
Not at all. And then there's the crucial omission, the action that didn't happen.
Right. They didn't call the police. They didn't call the health department.
Not a word. Their only priority was silence. They just wanted this entire incident to vanish before the morning shift came in.
It's a pattern you see in these kinds of cases, isn't it? The instinct isn't to fix the problem, it's to hide the fact that there is a problem.
Absolutely. The manager was willing to risk criminal charges because the immediate survival of the business felt more important than the long-term safety of the public. They were betting everything on the evidence being gone and the witnesses being silenced.
But the manager's plan completely blew up in their face.
Spectacularly.
And it's all because of the whistleblower's one brilliant preemptive move. this one act of really of mistrust in his own boss, it saved the entire investigation.
Mm-hmm.
The sources confirmed this critical detail. The whistleblower had already sent a copy of the video to the local health department. He did it before he ever walked into the manager's office.
He had a backup plan. He built redundancy into his reporting.
Yeah.
And that foresight is, I mean, it's the ultimate lesson in how to be an effective whistleblower. He recognized that the internal system, his own manager, probably couldn't be trusted with evidence this explosive.
He knew it was too big.
Way too big. So by sending it directly to the external regulator, the health department, he completely bypassed the manager's cover-up before it even began. He triggered the official legal response.
If he had just relied on his manager doing the right thing,
the evidence would be gone. The crime would have remained a secret. The perpetrator would have been quietly fired. And maybe, if the manager didn't do a deep clean, the contamination could have continued.
So the whistleblower's move ensured the truth survived the attempt to bury it.
And it proved that sometimes effective oversight means you have to go around the chain of command entirely. You go straight to the regulators.
It also kind of confirms how bad the video must have been. The manager's illegal, frantic attempt to delete it just validated the whistleblower's fears.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The manager gave up any claim to the moral high ground the second he hit delete.
So because the health department had that video, the official response was, it was incredibly fast.
Lightning speed. The inspectors were at that restaurant the very next day, and they weren't there for a routine checkup, you know, checking temperatures.
No, this was a targeted criminal investigation.
Exactly. And this is where that whole idea of the innocent facade just comes crashing down.
Right.
You have to imagine being one of those inspectors. You walk in, you know the absolute horror you're looking for. But what you see is a perfectly clean restaurant.
The sources describe this contrast so vividly. The kitchen was reported as spotless.
Spotless. The fryers were clean. The fridge was in perfect condition. All the food was stored correctly. Temperatures were logged. Everything looked perfect on the surface.
And that detail is so important.
It's crucial because it proves the contamination wasn't the result of just general sloppiness or, you know, a poorly maintained restaurant. This was a specific, targeted, malicious act hidden inside a system that otherwise seemed to be working just fine.
That contrast is what's so unnerving. This clean kitchen hiding this unspeakable crime. It shows the manager was diligent about keeping up appearances.
Mm.
The appearance of compliance. Even while he himself was actively covering up a felony. He knew how to pass a health inspection, but he completely failed to manage the moral rot inside his own restaurant.
Absolutely. And normally, inspectors would start with the basics, right? Checking waste disposal, looking for pests, all of that. But in this case, the whistleblower's video was a shortcut.
They knew exactly where to look.
They bypassed all the routine checks.
Mm-hmm.
They knew which area to target and what they were looking for.
And the focus shifted immediately. They went straight to the critical zone, the spot from the video. They opened the condiment area.
And the reaction, according to the source, was immediate and visceral. It says that what they saw made the inspectors physically step back.
Wow.
And you have to think about what that means. These are health inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
They're professionals. They've seen everything. Rats, mold, you name it. For them to physically recoil.
It suggests the contamination wasn't just, you know, microscopic. It was gross. It was visible. It was profoundly sickening.
And what they found was tragically, perfectly consistent with the whistleblower's video. It was containers contaminated with bodily fluids.
And these weren't like in the back of a storage closet. These were ingredients ready to be served.
Right there on the line.
Yeah.
The hidden extra ingredients that had been secretly served to who knows how many customers. The allegation from the video was now a physical, undeniable reality.
So what's the next step? They see it, but they have to prove it scientifically, right?
Right. Official verification. Even with a video and visual confirmation, something this serious requires scientific proof. So samples were collected right away and rushed to the state lab.
And that's not just a standard lab test, I imagine.
No, not at all. They're not just counting bacteria.
Mm.
To investigate intentional contamination with human fluids, the lab would use specialized tests. Serological testing to confirm it's human fluid, and potentially even DNA analysis to confirm the source.
This turns the visual evidence into, like, court admissible fact.
Mm-hmm. Irrefutable scientific fact.
Yeah.
And once those tests came back and confirmed the contamination, the restaurant's fate was sealed. The decision was instant.
What was the immediate consequence?
The restaurant was shut down. instantly.
Wow.
There was no warning, no chance to fix it, no grace period. The evidence of a deliberate, malicious, and confirmed threat to public health was just too great. They couldn't let it stay open for another minute.
That instant closure really just underscores the gravity of the whole thing, the complete breakdown.
It does. The shutdown was swift, but the fallout was just beginning.
Yeah, it immediately starts to ripple through the rest of the staff, through the whole community. The sources say that the other employees, the ones who hadn't been fired, who didn't know what was going on, they all quit.
On the spot.
The same day the restaurant was shut down.
And that speaks volumes, doesn't it? It's a complete evaporation of trust. Imagine you're working in that kitchen. You find out your coworker was doing this, and your boss tried to cover it up.
Your faith in the whole operation would be gone. Your faith in the entire industry, maybe.
Why would you stay? Why would you risk your own health, your own reputation, by being associated with a place whose management actively tried to hide a crime like this?
So the staff walking out, it confirms that the damage wasn't just physical contamination. It was, like, moral contamination.
Exactly. And what came next from the corporate office was just as telling. When the media, you know, inevitably descended on Muscle Shoals, management refused all interviews.
Total silence.
Their only public statement was this generic defensive line saying they were deeply shocked.
And we have to compare that statement with the manager's actual actions.
You have to. The manager wasn't shocked. The manager was an active participant in a cover-up. He was deleting evidence. He was firing the person who reported the crime.
The deeply shocked line is just classic corporate PR.
It's a deflection. It's designed to create as much distance as possible between the corporate brand and the criminal acts of their local manager. And by refusing to say anything else, they just showed a complete unwillingness to take any real responsibility for the crisis.
Both the contamination and the cover-up.
Both. And that silence, that refusal to offer any real answers or a genuine apology, it just made the sense of betrayal and Muscle Shoals even worse.
Which brings us to the most lasting, the most painful part of this whole story. The thing that still haunts the community years later.
It's our ambiguity.
The terrifying ambiguity of the timeline.
This is truly the unresolved horror of the Muscle Shoals scandal. The source tells us the worker, when he was caught, he confessed he'd been doing this for months.
For months.
Months, but you have to remember, that's a perpetrator's vague, self-serving estimate. The official investigation could only confirm that the contamination was there on the day they found it.
So there's no reliable start date.
None.
Okay.
And the terrifying implication for every single person who ate there is that, and I'm quoting again, nobody knows how long customers were eating it before anyone finally caught him.
Think about what that does to a community. The night shift workers, the teenagers, the family, they suddenly find out they might have been eating contaminated food, not just once, but maybe for weeks, maybe for months.
That open-ended timeline, it turns a finite crime into a continuous psychological trauma. When the evidence is destroyed, when the manager deletes that key video and refuses to be transparent, the true scope of the damage can never be known.
So every person who ate there is just left with this horrible gnawing question.
Forever. Was I a victim? And they'll never know for sure.
And that's why the story endures. The discovery was horrifying, sure. But it's the unknown duration, the secret length of time that this was going on. That's what cemented this as this defining moment of broken trust.
The cover-up didn't just hide the crime. It obscured the timeline, which makes any real psychological recovery for the community almost impossible.
So we've traced this just devastating story today. We started with a trusted local spot that was part of everyone's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then the horrifying malice of one employee and the moral courage of a whistleblower who knew he had to go outside the system.
Then the manager's calculated illegal attempt to just erase the whole thing.
And finally, the undeniable, sickening truth confirmed by science in a state lab.
This case is just such a stark, powerful lesson. It shows that the integrity of any system that serves the public, it really depends on the ethical choices of individuals, especially managers.
The manager's priority was just keeping the business open. He tried to delete the video to make the problem go away.
Right. And that action, as unethical as it was, it actually became powerful proof of just how severe the crime was.
Mm.
And the irony is, he was so focused on the superficial things, the spotless kitchen, the perfect temperature logs.
While completely ignoring the ethical rot that was literally poisoning his own customers.
It's a chilling example of how perceived safety, how routine, can hide the most awful things in plain sight. Things that just continue unquestioned until the catastrophe is already months old.
The ultimate takeaway here isn't just about, you know, checking health codes. It's about how systems of concealment work and the catastrophic failure that happens when accountability is just thrown out the window for the sake of short-term stability.
Precisely. And that brings us right back to the most terrifying, lasting part of the Muscle Shoals scandal. Sometimes the scariest part of a scandal isn't what they found, it's how long it went on before anyone looked.
That one question, how long? That's the burden that the community of Muscle Shoals still has to carry long after those restaurant doors were locked for the last time. It sticks with you. It's a reminder of the hidden vulnerabilities in the parts of our lives we trust the most.
Mm.
If you want the full breakdown and more deep dives into cases just like this, cases of corporate failure, whistleblowers, and hidden public health risks, you can find our entire series and all the notes from our research team by following at Inspector Story.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Boy, season's greetings to you all.